Hello and welcome back again to the House of BS. I'm Becky Brooksmith.
And I'm Glenn Brooksmith. And together we're full of BS in the best possible way.
I'm really not congratulating you this week for doing it. That's like the third time in a row.
Well,
you should be knowing this by now.
It'd be right if we did it daily and recorded it once a week, but I mean, we need life experiences.
So you want to do more?
We need life experiences. So.
Okay. This is our podcast all about what to do when life doesn't quite go to plan A, or the way that society makes you think it should go, or whatever plan A should be. We thank you for coming back. Thank you for listening again. Appreciate it. Whether you're listening or watching, wherever you might be, we are back in our new home. We've been here for a week now.
Yeah, it's been feels like a long week.
It does.
Really long week.
It's been crazy actually, because we have had guests and work and courses. And
we had my mum over and my sister over, and I think my niece was there. I'm not entirely sure she was there, but she came over as well.
So. Yeah, so it's been crazy. It's been a wild few days, but
it's been feral.
But lots of fun.
Yeah.
And we've spoken quite a bit before about how obviously we are a married millennial couple without children. That is like our biggest thing, that we don't have children. And we've spoken before a little bit, we've mentioned about some of the journey that we've been on. And we thought that today is probably the day.
The roller coaster we've been on.
Roller coaster, yeah. But like a broken roller coaster.
I think it's broken. We're still here.
No, I mean, like some bits are like real rickety.
Yeah.
We made it to the other end.
I mean, it's not Fort Park. We don't get stuck upside down.
No, what's that? Oh, is that that Oblivion one? Yeah. Like where you're hung over, like
facing.
Yeah.
And then, unfortunately, we had technical fault. We're going to have to hang you here for an hour.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So we've mentioned before that we've had a bit of an adoption journey as well. And that's ultimately what led us to coming here, but we haven't really gone into detail about it, have
Correct,
we?
Yeah.
So we thought, why not be super chirpy and share that with you?
Super chirpy.
But so it's a bit of a different vibe, I suppose, today, because we're talking a bit more like of serious things, but we'll go with it because, you know, we've come out the other side. Yeah. Whether it's through trauma and dark humour has got us through it.
Yeah, and then obviously it will might resonate with some people.
Yeah.
Some people might be going through the stuff we went through. So.
Yeah. What I don't want to do is let our experience put anybody else off, because obviously everybody's experiences are unique to them.
Yeah.
Because we know people that have had successful stories.
Yeah. Correct.
Ours is not, evidently. So we just thought we'd share some of that. So we. I always knew from a very young age that I had fertility issues. I have PCOS, also known as polycystic ovarian syndrome, and recently diagnosed, but have always had adenomyosis, which that's a whole other show. Mm. But basically, the severity and the way in which I have it means that fertility was always going to be an issue for me. So I always knew that from 14. And I remember I was very open with you about that right from the beginning.
Yeah, you are.
So we kind of knew that if we wanted to have children, we would have to start the journey quite early, because we knew it would be a journey anyway. And you were great. You were very accepting of that. So we did the whole fertility route, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Got
counts done and poked in places and jabbed in places.
Much was seen.
Yeah.
Much was seen. We got to know each other on new levels.
Yeah.
I think I wasn't going to share it, but I'm going to share it. So for one of the internal scans I had to have.
Oh, yeah.
And listen, women who are listening, girls, you know, we do not get a great time of it. we get also, and you get to a point where you just lose all dignity for yourself and all, like, do you know what? Do what you gotta do, like, just, it's fine. But I remember this one time you and I went to the fertility doctor, and they were like, oh, surprise, we're gonna do a scan, and it was an internal scan, which was lovely, and you were kind of just preparing to leave the room to be like, okay, bye. The doctor was like, well, no, don't you want to stay? You can stay and you can watch.
Yeah, just don't worry, we'll pull the curtain back so you can see the screen.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm an expert at looking at screens.
You knew exactly what to look for.
I did. It just looked like I was playing Echo the Dolphin. Like,
oh, wow. Lovely.
How do I know what's on the screen?
Echo Echo the Dolphin. Great. Yeah. But it wasn't just you and the doctor and me.
No, you attract these type of people.
It happens to me all the time. Yeah. I, of course, had a student doctor in at the same time. It was a tiny room. This was a tiny little NHS room where we were all kind of crowded in, and I was just laying there thinking, oh, okay, this is one of the bottom part. Like, oh God, that was a wrong thing to say.
I mean, ain't gonna bother, that could be where everything went wrong. That could be why they didn't find out what they needed to find.
I meant like a rock bottom, but then I corrected myself because I thought this wasn't rock bottom, but it was, oh God, we're gonna move on.
We'll move on from it.
So anyway, long story short, it turns out we both had some fertility issues. Mm-hmm. We weren't going to be offered IVF. We weren't going to be offered ICSI because of the whole situation. So we walked away, didn't we? We walked away from it.
Gave yourself a little break for a little bit because...
You have to have a breather, right?
Yeah, I mean, you've gone through quite a bit. I had to do quite a bit as well, but I mean, you took a brunt of it like normal. And then... so we just gave ourselves a few months of leniency to do stuff, and then reassessed on how we wanted to move forward from there.
We had sort of briefly discussed adoption before, hadn't we? We'd sort of like mentioned it was almost like a last resort situation. Mm. And I remember it was when COVID hit.
Mm.
We were in lockdown, and I remember sitting at the dining table. You'd been in the shower, hadn't you?
Mm-hmm.
And he'd come out the shower and just came up to me and said, I'm ready now.
Hmm.
Because I always knew that I was ready, and we knew that it was you that kind of, like, I think you needed to process it a bit more.
Yeah, the adoption thing was still quite a big jump, so.
But why do you think that was more of a jump than having children?
Because it's a big responsibility to go and look after somebody else's children. Which is what it was. It was always looking at, you always told this, well, you know, you're looking after it. And then eventually, after a while, you take on the kids. So we did originally look at fostering.
We did.
But we realised you weren't strong enough to do fostering.
Absolutely not. No, there was no way, because I wanted our own. So yeah. I think that was my biggest thing. But I think that was one of our biggest differences in the beginning. You saw it as looking after someone else's kid, and I saw it as us having our own kid.
Mm.
And that was a real difficult.
Yeah, because I mean, honestly, like they still said that after we've done all the training, like, oh, well, it could still be a bit rocky for the first couple of weeks, and then, you know, if there's an objection or something, then you've got to go through court again, and we're just like, so it's not final.
Because I think it's at least 6 weeks after they come home before you can then
apply for them
to be officially adopted, but. Anyway, before we knew any of this, you said you were ready. We said great. We called the parents, didn't we? It was like a pregnancy announcement to our family. We said, you know, we've decided and we're ready and we're going to adopt and we're going to start.
We're going to start the adoption process.
Yes, yeah. So we looked first at doing it through the council, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't do it.
No, they had some really weird stipulations on. Parents and families, and how they've got to be at a certain.
Basically, I was too fat.
I think it was a mixture of both of us. If I'm honest, you can poke yourself, but yeah.
No, basically they have a BMI cutoff, don't they? The
yeah, I mean, you know my feelings on BMI, so we're not post-war Britain. I suppose technically we are post-war, but I think we've all fattened up since the 1950s.
Well, I mean, I think we're not small people.
No.
We know that, but we're both active. We're both busy. We're both. You know, healthy. We do get health checks, and you know, we look after.
Thanks to wonderful UAE.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Now, but I mean, back then, before.
Yeah.
But we, yes, so there was a cut off, so we ended up going to the private route.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not to say, because a lot of people used to ask me, "Oh, do you have to pay?" And we just because private, I think.
Yeah, I mean, no, we didn't really have to pay. They did. It was semi council, so the council still were paying towards our.
They were like an agency on behalf of the council, weren't they? So
they did all the council training, they had all the council people on board. So.
Yeah. So we had, we got signed up, didn't we? And we had to do, oh my God, just so many interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Interview after interview after interview. And I remember.
And they were really intimate.
They were intense.
Yeah.
Because there were, I mean, we even, like, we had to do them separately, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
We did some together.
Yep, and the separate ones were intense.
Yeah. Oh, because they go through everything. Mm. Previous relationships, childhood. What was your worst memory as a child, I think, was one of the questions.
Yeah, I don't know.
I
just blurred through most of myself.
I was very, very lucky to say that I didn't have, you know, negative within family. Mm. So a lot of that was very sort of, what's the word? It was very just me and you at that stage, yeah. Wasn't it? And our social worker, who was a lovely lady.
Yeah.
She was assigned to us. She was a lovely, lovely lady. And we went on courses, didn't we?
Yep, we done 8 weeks worth of courses.
Yeah. Yeah, they were long old days. I think for me, it was okay because I've done, obviously as a teacher, I've done a lot of child protection and safeguarding courses and things like that. And there was a lot of things around that because obviously you kind of have to understand that most children who are up for adoption are children of trauma.
Yeah.
So there was
all
a lot.
All of them were from trauma.
Yeah. So we, there was lots and lots of training around that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how did you find that? Because
it was very intense. I mean, I do, not be funny, I've taken some of that training into my life now.
Have you?
100%. I mean, adults are just older children, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you sit there and you can see how certain people get on in life.
Mm.
Like, whether they've been diagnosed with something or they haven't, yeah, I can sit there and go, okay, well, I know I need to talk to this person this way and this person this way. So it was a bit more eye-opening for my mono grey lifestyle. But yeah, it was really intense. Nice to meet some people, especially during lockdown, because lockdown, you will remember it, like we couldn't go out and see people, couldn't do stuff.
You certainly couldn't meet new people.
No, and because this was classed as critical work.
Yes.
They said we could have 8 in a room, and the room was massive.
It was big.
Like,
yeah.
Was it a 20-seater table?
Well, it was a wedding venue. We actually went to a wedding.
Afterwards.
Was it afterwards? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, that was. Oh, no. Oh, was it? Oh, it doesn't
matter. It was afterwards, yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
So we did that. Had a good lunch.
Yeah, they had a very good lunch. Like, I mean, the hotel wasn't really doing anything because we didn't have anybody there, but I mean.
Yeah, that's to feed like 8 people a day. Every
sausage mash was one of the best.
That you remember the actual dish.
Yeah.
I remember that we enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Because it was heavy, heavy stuff. It was, you know, some real, you talk through all the different kinds of abuse and again, for me as a teacher, I've done this every year for the last sort of 12, 13 years being in education. So for me, I was kind of like, okay, I know this bit. But what I think they started to do was actually put real faces to real names for cases.
Which caused a bit more of a emotional.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So I think I don't know if one of the sort of first red flags was that I found that the social worker and the agency were kind of telling us different things. In terms of social worker was like, be clear on what you want, be clear on you know, what child you want to bring home, which sounds really, it's so hard to say it without sounding like you're shopping.
We were shopping.
But
when we'd done the course, we did the final course, had our big interview. The big interview was intense.
The panel
was intense, insane. Like, I mean, the stress was unbelievable.
So how many people were we interviewed about? Was it six?
It was 8 people in that room.
8 people.
2 people didn't speak to us at all. And the other 6 people were asking those questions.
Right, yeah, that's right. And it was all, I honestly think I blocked some of this out, you know.
I gathered.
But it was about like how we would cope in certain situations. Yeah. Like
if you lost your job, if what happens if you do this,
if you divorced,
you know,
all those sorts of things.
What happens if a dog wasn't accepted by the kids? I was like, the kid would go home, and I've never seen people's face drop so hard. I was like, well, I'm not getting rid of my dog.
We both said that.
I'm not getting rid of Poppy. Like, she's my dog. I'm not getting rid of her. Just
because she's a family member.
Yeah.
So,
and I think they took that as a bit of a laugh, but they also took it as like, okay, they've taken some kind of responsibility.
Yeah. So then once we passed that part, all of the family got involved.
Mm-hmm.
Family and friends, people that were closest to us, and they were all interviewed.
Mm.
They had all files and questionnaires that they had to fill out and on our behalf. I think we had, was it 3 friends on each side plus parents and siblings?
Yeah.
So it was a huge kind of like network of people that were involved in making this happen.
Because they all got interviewed as well. They all got individually interviewed, and they got asked all our questions about us, and what do you do with us, and how do you know us, and have they done anything?
And they actually never shared that information with us.
They didn't share all the questions either.
That was all very, very cloak and dagger, and we didn't even know when they were speaking to some of them. No. It was all, you know. So it's hard because you're putting your entire trust into these people. And I understand that they're doing the same to us because obviously this is children's lives we're talking about. Correct. But it's...
we move on after the panel.
Yeah.
Because we'd already gained all the response and trust and stuff. We got to the panel. We did the panel. The panel was really cyber intense. It was really, really, really intense. Because I remember us both coming out there and like, what just happened? Like, we were both a little bit, because they didn't tell you straight away.
Yeah.
They took us, you had to go downstairs for 20 minutes.
And
then they invited you back up. And then they sat you down and said, congratulations, we think you're acceptable to be parents. And I was like, well, it's kind of, we knew that at the door. So thanks for that, guys. Thanks for your reassurance, you strangers, that you trust us.
I think,
Then the social worker took us off. Didn't she?
Yeah.
She took us off and then said, come out in a few days' time, we'll give you access to a portal.
The portal was hard. Oh my God.
So you'd have a scope, didn't you? We gave them a scope of what we felt was acceptable.
Yeah, whether you can essentially say how many, how old, you can lean towards a gender, but you know, we weren't bothered about that. But we were very, very sure that we wanted one child.
Yeah.
Under two is what we were looking for.
Yeah, and we got told, oh, there'll be tons of them, don't worry about it.
Absolutely. No.
we got the link, and I'm not joking when I say there was over 20,000 children on that site.
It was truly one of the most horrendous things I'd ever seen. But in the sense that it was just heart-wrenching, wasn't it? So this site, essentially think of it, and this is going to sound awful, but think of it like Facebook Marketplace.
It was.
But for kids. And literally, like, you'd go on these profiles, wouldn't you? And it'd have a picture of this beautiful child's face and their name. And I swear, on something, it said, will you be my new mummy and daddy?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You're already emotionally blackmailed at that point anyway.
Oh, you're so vulnerable.
You're so vulnerable. Everybody's like, So you apply for the ones you think are cool, the ones that you think will set.
You register and then, an interest,
yeah,
don't
and
you?
Yeah, and then they come back to you and say, oh, actually, that child's gone. But we have got these ones available.
Yeah.
Would this be, these are just, these guys are really caring, or they've been, they're new in, or would you be interested in these before they time out, that kind of stuff.
Mm.
Because obviously, when they hit a certain age, when they don't really want to take them up from their foster parents.
Yeah. So,
but then we got upscaled to twos.
Yeah, that started to happen a lot, didn't it? We started to get a lot of because God, this can sound really weird again as well. Think of it like Tinder, in the sense that we put out like, okay, this is what we think, and our profile also goes to tens and tens of agencies, and they then match us. And if they think it's a match, they get in touch with us and they say, hey, we think you'd be great parents.
Although they never told us how they matched us.
Absolutely not. No, I have questions about it.
We said a lot of questions because we'd say one thing and say this is what we want and this is what we don't want. And we don't feel this is going to be a good need for us or don't be a good fit for our family. And then you'll go, well, do you mind getting rid of the dog? Yeah, I do mind getting rid of the dog.
Yeah,
it was on the list. Do you mind buying a house for four kids?
Yeah, because at the time we lived in a two-bed upstairs masonette.
Yeah, so do you mind having a kid which is disabled in a
wheelchair? Yeah, a child that couldn't.
I've got no problem with that.
Yeah,
but the problem is we live on a set of stairs. Yeah. I'm not going to ask you to try and carry a child upstairs.
Of course.
For the rest of your life. Oh, just go and buy a new house.
Yeah, because it's so easy.
Yeah, it took us like a good 8 years of saving to get the money to pay for that house as a deposit and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, so at this point in the process, we were probably, a year in?
Yeah.
About a year into the process at this point. And we had registered interest with a couple, and we'd started to with a couple of siblings say, okay, this, you know, this could. And then you'd get ghosted, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you'd get blanked.
You would hear nothing, and there was nothing more torturous than that. And we're not talking like just for a couple of days. It would be like 6 weeks, 2 months. You would hear nothing. And
they'll start initially stalking you, and then they'll just go.
Yeah, it was so intense all the way up to the panel. It was like emails, messages, calls, emails, letters, blah, 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 constant, and then oh yeah, you're in, nothing.
Yeah.
And that was like the biggest, I found that the most stressful part.
Correct, yeah.
Just not being able to, because then even if you contacted someone, they'd be like, oh yeah, no, nothing yet.
No, or oh, sorry, we haven't updated the site. And they were gone. Oh, how long ago did they go? Oh, a month ago. I go, well, I messaged you 6 weeks ago, so you could have told me that. And they're like, oh yeah, sorry, we've been really busy dealing with this, dealing with that.
Mm.
I'm like, guy, it's my life. I'm trying to help these kids out.
Yeah.
I want to try and form our family, and you've got no, there was no recall on it. It was just tough. But then we did find a set that we really liked.
We did. We
ended up going down to see them.
Well, I mean, I remember we were actually in the car park of the restaurant we were going to for our anniversary. Do you remember?
Hmm.
And we just happened to look on this site.
Hmm.
We were just, because I think it consumed everything about us. Didn't
yeah, I remember consume. You. I remember you getting quite obsessive with being on the site. Why are they not responding? Why are they not responding? Who can I message?
I really struggled with it. Definitely, but it was we were in the car park. We were about to go in for our anniversary dinner. And we found this pair, and we just looked at their faces. It was a brother and sister.
Yeah.
Older than we'd said. So obviously already we're at two.
Yeah.
He was 5 and she was 3.
Mm.
So again, older than we'd originally said. But by this point, I don't know if it was just because we just were like, we just want our children, we want our family, and this is, you know, where we're at now. We just looked at these little faces. We read their profiles.
And we spoke to our social worker.
Yeah, we did, didn't we?
Yeah, because she was like, yeah, they're definitely what we think would be great for you.
Yeah. And I remember saying to you, what do you think? And I think, I can't remember who of us said it. I think maybe you said, I think we've just found our kids, our son and our daughter. And so then we registered the interest there. And then we started a process with their social workers and their team.
But luckily our team, the company we were dealing with had already dealt with that company quite a lot.
Yeah, so there was a relationship there already. So that kind of, I think that probably cut out probably like 4 months worth of
back
stuff
and forth
between them. So we did that, we started that. The children were actually, I can say that they're in Wales, can't I? They're in different, yeah. So they were far from us.
Yeah.
They were in Wales. I'm not going to say where, but obviously they, you know, so it was far from us. And the ball kind of then started to pick up rolling again, didn't it?
Very fast.
Very, very fast. We actually went for a weekend, didn't we? Went for a night.
Yeah.
And we...
It's because I had friends down there. I have friends down there. So I went to go and see friends in Wales, and we stayed a night down there as well, down near where they were.
Yes, but yeah, but I'm the organised...
Oh, you mean the one by the agency?
Okay. Yeah. So the agency organised, and so the hardest things as well is that you choose your children, for want of a better phrase. You choose your children on paper, you know them inside out.
Mm.
You know them from the second they were born, you know them from before they were born, you know all of their paternity notes, their background, their family tree, you know. Every time they've had a cold, you know what their favourite food is, what their colour is, like all of these things. You know?
But on the ones we've chosen, there was a red flag for us on two bits of paper that I'm missing. So our social worker.
Yeah.
Listened to them red flags straight away, and she went off and dealt with them.
She was great.
She was great.
Yeah, she wasn't messing around. She was like, right, we'll get this sorted. We'll look it up. We did
go down.
Yeah, but we were pretty sure through the paperwork we knew that the little boy was showing signs of autism, which we discussed, didn't we? And we said, okay, well, that's a huge spectrum.
Yeah, we didn't know if it was autism or whether it was because he'd been
trauma
or other responses before he'd been met.
Because the signs that he was showing were possible of both.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So there was that, and the sister was the same. Well, we didn't.
Yeah, but she was much younger.
Yeah, we can't really go into much detail.
Yeah, unfortunately that we know it. Unfortunately, it happened for her. But there were things that could be a sign of an illness, or could be a sign of trauma response.
Correct.
So the agency arranged with the kids agency that we could go down for this weekend. We could meet the foster parents, go into their home, and just sort of. get to know and just get a vibe and a feel of the place.
Speak to them, how they've been looked after.
And God, they were lovely people, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
The foster carers were just
awesome.
Oh, just heaven sent, honestly. Yeah. They were just so, so lovely. And I actually remember our social worker called us afterwards to say that the foster mum had called the social worker and said, they're the perfect parents for these kids.
We look similar, we sounded similar.
It was nice.
Like,
it felt incredible. And then
we got invited to go around to their school.
Yeah, so the little girl was in nursery, wasn't she, around the corner? And apparently they don't usually do this.
No.
So, like, if you're thinking about this, don't expect this, because this isn't...
So we just watched them through a window whilst they were playing.
Sounds really weird.
It does sound really weird,
sounds really strange, but we did.
I mean, it's on topic to what we're talking about.
It's a strange thing. It all just falls under this sort of window shopping for children.
The girl went out, she was out playing. Obviously, it was COVID time, so we had masks on. Nobody saw anything.
We were relatively disguised, weren't we, really? Yeah,
They did their play and then we left.
Well, no, because I would always... Do you remember we weren't allowed to interact with her because obviously we don't want to make any interactions, but just she came up to you and gave you her tissue, didn't she?
Mm. She thought I was one of the workers. So.
Yeah, but it was a real moment. And then we went to a cafe just around the corner, and they said, oh, the little boy's going to come in. The foster mum's collected him from school. I think he was sick that day, wasn't he? The foster mum had collected him from school, and they're going to pop in at this cafe on the way home. So we kind of like Mission Impossible'd it in there, and we sat down, and he came in, and I just remember it. He just talked a million miles an hour, didn't he?
Mm.
There was writing on the walls of this place, like just said like coffee, latte, macchiato, whatever. And he just stood there and he was reading everything, wasn't he? And I remember just looking at this little boy, and you were too, and we were both, honestly, it unnerved us a little bit.
Yeah.
I think if we're being honest with ourselves now, I think at the time we were kind of trying to talk ourselves into like, oh, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
But I think the reality is we were scared.
Yeah, definitely.
Because
obviously we'd only seen the reports, and then we met them, and yeah, I mean, the reports didn't quite match what was sold.
I think the severity of the potential autism wasn't written down.
No, I mean, you didn't have to be a rocket scientist at that point to go,
There's some stuff going on here. Okay.
I mean, we'd met the teachers.
Yeah, because that's where we went. We went to the school, didn't we?
And the teachers were like, "Yeah, he's really nice, but she's really nice, but
they were kind of the first ones that gave us these, like, I don't want to keep saying red flags, because you know, like having neurodivergence or different that's fine, and we'd come to terms with that. But we certainly weren't aware of the extent that it could go to.
Correct. Yeah.
And I remember we went back to the hotel that night, and we were like, oh my God, we've just met our children, and this is our son, and this is our daughter, and it's a real sort of cloud nine feeling.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, back on food, made a great breakfast with them, with the social worker.
Fab breakfast.
She walked through and spoke about it and said, like, are you sure? Is this something you definitely wanted to proceed with?
Yeah.
The social worker was absolutely amazing. Well, our social worker, she was really protective of us.
She really was, to be fair, in everything that happened, she put us first.
Yeah.
Even in ones that we'd sort of put an interest in, and if she wasn't sure, she said, I don't think this is right. And I really, really respected that honesty.
Because that was the good, and she was quite mature. She'd done this for donkeys. Was it 20 odd years, she said?
So
she was like, she'd done thousands of these kind of things, and she was like, no, guys, I am going to be your firewall, your protection, and the protection that you don't want, I am going to be that protection. You're going to hate me on some things, but let's be fair.
Yeah.
It's better to get like a second set of eyes.
Absolutely, because the children have their social care.
Yeah.
And I had never considered that actually we needed social care too.
Yeah.
It took quite a while, I think, for my head to get around that. But we all agreed at that breakfast that, this is a good match. There was still that little red flag that she was still looking into.
There was two red flags, one for each child.
That's right, that she was still looking into. We were kind of waiting for reports and things. But in the meantime, we could then begin the process of...
Everything.
We knew that we were building to another panel.
Yeah.
To see if they would accept us.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, then at home, things started
snowballing.
Yeah, we gutted out. We had a room of shame, didn't we?
It was a room of shame.
It was technically
my office, but
it was technically, yeah, in name only. I think
we had a desk and computer, weren't you, in there?
Desk,
you also had your wardrobe in there.
Two double wardrobes. It was mess. It was chaos in there. So it was the room of shame.
I mean, we do carry a lot.
Hey, no. These are beautiful.
Yeah, I didn't
these
say
are plants. When did,
these
are organised.
When did I say they weren't beautiful?
I
did say that we do carry a lot.
I am going to see if
we
I've
just
got
moved
a picture
house.
Of our room of shame. We've moved house. We've been there 4 years.
We've just moved house
now. Sorry.
And we told the movers that it was a one-bed apartment, yeah, which it was. And they turned up and they were like, "Sir, are you sure this is one bed? This is a lot of stuff." They left us after unpacking half of it, and they still left us with 36 boxes.
Yeah.
Right?
I feel like we're getting off topic. It's okay. Let's not play game here.
So it's not that bad to just carry a lot of stuff.
I said play game. I meant lay blame. Okay. Want to move on?
Yeah. So we did all that, and then we got down to... We passed the panel.
Well, we did. We passed the panel, and...
was fun. Because I'd taken a job, because obviously I was, at this point I was working and taking as many jobs as possible to try and build up nice funds, so I could take 3 or 4 months off so I could bond with little people.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was taking every job. So, I mean, 4 weeks straight, I think I had 2 days off.
Mm-mm.
And I was up and down everywhere. It would be Scotland, Inverness, Devon, everywhere I was.
Yeah,
away.
You were all over the place. You were.
And I was in Manchester that night filming for a very famous car brand, a very highly sensitive job, and it run over by 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to leave, finish at 10 o'clock, wasn't I, and then drive straight home. So it was a late shoot, and it didn't finish until 6 a.m. And the thing was at 11, so I ended up driving through the morning, all the way through rush hour traffic, all the way home, no sleep, absolutely exhausted. Mm. Did the panel and then just passed out. Like,
it was wild that day. I remember we actually announced it on social media. We hadn't put anything on social media before then, and we put a post up and it said the Brooksmiths are adopting. Adventure begins. The Brooksmiths are adopting, and. It was genuinely like a pregnancy announcement, wasn't it? It was, okay, this is where we go. And I started being really open with it, because actually, funnily enough, people started getting in touch, didn't they, that we knew that we're also either thinking about adopting or had already started the process or whatever. So then we started to have our own little community, which had never happened before. It was quite an isolating thing sometimes.
They're like parents.
Well, yeah, but there are parents bloody everywhere, aren't they, breeders?
Wow.
That was bitter, wasn't it? Yeah. Sorry about that. Love you all. But that is such a socially accepted norm to be parents.
Great.
And adoption is a whole other kettle of fish.
Great.
It is something else. So anyway, we announced it. We decorated the kids' room.
Spent a fortune decorating. A fortune buying you another car. Replacing your
4x4. Yeah, we got the family car ready.
To get an SUV, so you put child seats in because they had ISO locks.
We had a whole day at IKEA with my mum and dad.
Yeah, spent a fortune.
Kids' wardrobes and the beds. And I remember my mum and dad, they were really, really cautious about whether or not to do this, but they bought little teddy bears each with their names on.
Yeah.
We had to do a whole thing where we had a cuddly toy, one for the girl, one for the boy. And we had to get that cuddly toy. We had a Paddington bear, didn't we, and a bunny. And all of our closest friends and family had to have a picture with the bear. And then we would send the picture. We created a book for the kids. And then we would send the book with the kids. Send the book with the bears to the kids. So it could be like an introduction. That all happened, and it was all very lovely, much like I would imagine a maternity kind of
build up. Just about the weight.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Or the hospital.
I was a bit stress-eaty.
I think we both were.
My sister and my best mate kept trying to plan an adoption shower for us, and it was all lovely, lovely, lovely. Until...
We got a phone call literally the day before. It was like 4:30 the day before.
Yeah.
Because I remember you hadn't quite finished work. And you're like, oh, they're messages. What do you want a message about?
Yeah. Well, I mean, even before that, we'd had a couple of knockbacks, hadn't we? Because birth family had wanted to go back to court and contest it, which they told us was very, very normal.
Correct.
This happens a lot when it gets to this stage of, yes, this is happening. Birth families, as is their right to.
I mean, contest. One of the parents did. The other parent was quite content for us to...
One knew it was the right thing for them to be out of their care. One didn't.
Yeah.
And I remember our social worker saying to us, this is absolutely normal.
Yeah,
this happens. This is okay. What we didn't expect was the court to then hear that parent and grant like an extension.
But I mean, fair play to them. I would do as well. I'd fight tooth for now.
And we both said that, didn't we? As much as it was heartbreaking for us at the time, we kind of respected the parent for doing that because, okay, that you know, there's something there. But I'll be honest, at this time I started to not be very well because this is when I started to really struggle with, because we were only relatively recently out of the fertility thing and then we'd gone on to this and it just felt like
another trauma response. Trauma purchases.
But you're right, we we got to so you were saying it's about 5:30 and they called us.
4:30 because we'd been dealing with the red flag and we'd had tons of meetings with professionals. I mean, professionals with titles I've never heard of in my life. PhDs, doctorates.
All the letters.
Every letter. I was like, damn, like I work as really complex stuff, but you guys just have lots of the letters and you're pretty dim. Like, I have to keep repeating the same thing to you again and again and again. Like, it got really, really annoying at one point. Really aggravating. I remember getting off the call with you. I was like, we just wasted 2 hours of our life talking to this professional which doesn't seem to have any clue or what's happening. And it was because they wanted the tick box.
Yeah.
And then the red flag, we pushed and pushed and pushed, and then finally the red flag got accepted that they had to do it. They did the red flag checks and everything they needed to do, whether it be, we're not going to give you what the red flag was because that would give away the case, but there was lots of background to this. We were very adamant, weren't we?
Yeah.
And finally they had to go off and come back to us. 4:30 day before, we get a phone call saying...
The day before they were coming home.
The day before we were coming home, so the cars packed, our cars filled up, our hotels were paid for, everything like that.
Their beds were made, we had friends that were following us with their stuff.
Yeah.
So that we could just have them and the kids in the car and us.
Have a van with everything else in it.
Yeah.
Because the kids had toys and stuff they wanted to bring. And luckily we pushed so hard, they'd done what we'd asked them to do. Turns out that we were right, 100% right. And
I don't think we expected it to be as much as it was.
Yeah, but I mean,
I think what we can say is that essentially both children, it transpired that they had a condition, which meant that they would need full-time care.
We weren't in a position to give full time.
We're
aiming for two children, which were either had like slight disability. They gave us basically when we did our board, they said like there was scales that you could meet and scales of.
We had to like set our limit.
And this shot the limit from I think we were a 3 or something, 3 to 10. I think it was 1 to 10. And some of our bars were set at 3 because obviously we're both working, or one of us.
And we've worked hard for our careers,
yeah, correct.
So we weren't wanting to give that up. And I find it really difficult to say without feeling like I sound really selfish, but it wasn't just
down to that.
It was like where
we live and the locations we're in and the support network. The support network was insane, like. Because
we also had their school places, didn't we?
Yeah.
They were coming to
the levels that we'd set out and social workers agreed with, this had set it from like a 3 to 9, and 9 was like the most extreme and blah blah blah. I can't give you too much. I'm not going to give you too much information on that.
Yeah.
But it was quite a big shock, and our social worker got offline and said it's done.
She
pulled the plug straight away. She said it's done. We're not doing it.
Yeah. And there were moments of like, what has just happened?
Yeah.
It was all very, very quick. Because it literally was so quick. It was one phone call. This has happened. This is where we're at now. This isn't right.
Yeah.
And it was done. And I look back now and I have so much respect for our social worker, because I know that wasn't easy for her either.
And the way she pulled it out, like, I literally mean, I was a jokey play with her most of the time. We got off the call stone faced, no, we're done. I'm not letting you go through with this.
Yeah.
This goes over our ethical level and it goes across your boundary.
Yeah.
We do not think that's we don't think this is a good match at all.
Yeah.
And we were like, well, obviously we're invested, like we've got the house done, we've
got
the cars
done.
Yeah,
we did try and push back a bit.
Schools, everything you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Got quite abrupt. As you can imagine, because you're quite defensive at this point.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
We had names, letters, cards, everything.
School
from them.
Places.
Yeah. So by this point it got quite hard. We sat down, we had a little cry for a little minute, went and spoke to our neighbours, our downstairs neighbours, which was quite good.
And I remember driving to my parents, that's weird, to my parents, and you actually pulled over on the side of the road just to cry.
Mm.
I think it just sort of like hit you halfway through that. I mean, we only had brought like a 3-minute drive,
yeah,
and it kind of hit you and you just... And I don't even think...
Because I'm not being funny, like... The men are always supposed to be the strong one, which is really annoying.
I don't buy into that.
Yeah, I don't care if you don't buy into it. It's just how society norms. Yeah. So at some point you just boil over, and it was just, I was trying to be stone all the time. I'm only human. I get to a point where sometimes I do have to side of show our sides, which, you know, to my wife, it should be acceptable.
I think this is... And if I'm being honest with you and, you know, with our lovely listeners, this is why we started this, because to an extent, because you and I have never actually really had a deep conversation about this. We kind of just, the way that you and I are, we just deal with it, we get on with it, we move on.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do. And we quite often joke with people, say, oh yeah, we moved here as a trauma response.
Mm.
But that is not a joke. We absolutely did that. We 100% ran away.
So where were we going? We went to your parents' house, spoke to them. Parents were heartbroken for us.
Oh, it was awful.
I had to call my parents. They were heartbroken for us.
I remember apologising
to our parents.
Yeah,
I remember both parents being like, don't be so wet.
But I just felt like we'd let so many people down because ultimately some people will see this as, well, you had a choice and we chose not to.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Now, being stronger and moving on from it, I don't think that is the case. I don't think we did have a choice. I think that the choice was made for us. But
then we rang back our social worker, said okay, cool. And then they dropped the bomb on us, which was great, cool. So you're now in mourning.
Yeah.
Or what was it?
You're in your grief stage.
Grief or grieving period. So they gave you 2 weeks or 4 weeks, or was it grieving leave from work?
From work,
they gave you an actual sick note.
Yeah.
I'm self-employed, so a sick note means absolutely nothing to me.
Yeah.
Obviously, I took some time off, took a week off. We went on holiday for a week.
My mom and dad booked us a flight.
Did they?
Yeah.
How much money we had saved?
We paid for the hotel, mum and dad booked us the flight and said, just go. They said, just go, just disappear.
I think it was our downstairs friends that just said, book it, pack it, go.
Yeah.
They said they were looking
Honestly, everybody around us just and we did, 48 hours later, we were in another country.
I don't think it was 48 hours. It was such a blur. I think we just packed, hugged, went.
Yeah. We ran off.
Yeah, we ran off, went and buried our head in the sand for a week.
I've said this to you, like, separately. I honestly don't remember much of that that time at all.
I do remember all of it.
That's good. I really don't. I've blocked out an awful lot of it. And I remember when they were saying that, you have to have this grieving period. It's at least six months.
You had to. And then we couldn't do anything for 6 months. We can't re-adopt. That puts you over your time frame. So you've got to really go through the panel again. Then you've got to go through the panel for the children again. You've got to pick up. No.
I mean, and we'd already been in this process for about 2.5 years.
Yeah, and including including the infertility.
Oh, and then if you put the fertility thing on top of it, you're then looking at like 4.5 years.
Yeah.
So it was, it just felt...
like a lifetime. It was a lifetime.
Yeah.
So we...
I spiraled a bit.
Yeah.
I didn't cope. I think you bottled up. You bottled up quite a bit. I think, I don't know whether it's because you felt like you had to be there for me or because, like you've just said, the stereotypical man thing.
Mm-hmm.
You bottled and I spiraled.
I'm very good at it, though. Sorry.
Yeah, but I don't think that's healthy.
Well, I also don't think eating kale is healthy. So,
okay, that, I mean, that means nothing, what you just said. doesn't mean anything.
Everybody has their own opinions. So.
Right, okay, I see what you mean.
Right? But so then we shot back and then we come here.
Yeah, we came
on to see a family member.
Yeah, who said, look, send me your CV.
I have a few
and
friends.
We've got some connections. And we were here for 5 days. I had four interviews.
Got four out of four.
Got offered them all. And then we literally just turned to each other and said, looks like we're moving out here then.
Yeah, I was like, sell the house. Well, I can still do my job remotely, which was true for a big majority of it. I still flew back to work for different companies because it was more worthwhile.
It was wild though when you look at it, wasn't it? Because all this happened, the kids were meant to come home at the, I think it was the end of March, beginning of April.
Yeah, you started here in
August.
August, yeah.
So literally, you started
day of work before my birthday.
I did.
I went out for my birthday on my lonesome. I got heat stroke and got told to go home.
Yeah, because you were the idiot that rode a bike along Kite Beach in August, in the middle of the day.
And the guy was, I pulled him in, put him in, got a glass of water, and the guy was like, you need to get a taxi home, my friend. You're seriously dehydrated. I got home, sat down on the bed, and the next thing I know, I'm getting woken up by you going, are you okay? Have you seen your face? I'm like, why was that my face? You're really badly dehydrated. No, I didn't know. I can't see my own eyeballs. So yeah, it was a big up and leave. And then
I honestly think that we ignored it for a while. We kind of just powered through and got on. I mean, Dubai is a crazy pace of life anyway. But I think we just ignored it. And then I honestly believe it's only really in the last, well, because we've had trauma since, but that's another show. But I think we're now able to start talking about it, which is why I think some things are still really hard.
Yeah.
Some things are still really difficult. And I think a lot of people that we know at home look at us and say, oh my God, they've got this brilliant life, this dazzling life. And it's so easy. Well, do you know what? Yeah, we do. We're very lucky. But
damn.
Yes. Fiddlesticks. What trauma that came off the back of. Correct. That we are still processing and still dealing with and still have moments of. I went through, I think my old email accounts came up the other day and I still had a file with adoption stuff.
I've gone for my phone recently because I had to free up some space thanks to new iOS updates, which are absolutely killing phones. And all the pound papers, all the...
I had pictures of them.
Yeah, I deleted most of them anyway.
I thought I had, but there were a couple.
iPhone's like, re-updating
stuff.
Hey! Hey, guys!
Did you forget this?
3 years ago, do you remember this? And you're like...
Hey, you think you're over it?
Not yet, there it is! Remember that time you did something really stupid? Oh, there it is. Yeah, no, it was horrendous. But, I mean, look where we are now.
We've come a long way. We're in a really good place. And I think, you know, I'm lucky and I'm blessed that I got to do it with you. I think any other, you know, well, not any other, but some other couples wouldn't have got through that. And I am proud of us for being the way that we are with it now.
And I'm blessed to have it with you too. But we're going to need to finish up soon because we're up to a very long period.
Oh, sorry. So it's been a long show.
Can we leave it on something fun?
Yes, let's. Go on. You got BS moment of the week? Is that what you're leaving on?
I'm trying to think. I've got a BS moment. I didn't even think about that, actually.
Oh, what were you talking about? Something
this
fun?
Or that? Or something? You're pretty good at bringing these random visits.
Oh, so you wanted me to change it into something fun? You didn't even plan anything?
You are the fun one. When I want you to be.
Yeah, okay. Before we do anything like that, I just really want to say, just very briefly, if you are thinking of adopting yourself or anything like that, please don't let this like situation put you off.
No.
Like I say, everybody has their own stories. I know three couples since that have adopted and are very happy.
In the same group.
Within the same group and one that's not within the same group. And they're all, you know, they have a lovely, lovely time.
Correct.
So there are many, many success stories. It's just as we would have it for us.
We're just the us guys.
Hey, if there's a small chance, we're the chance.
You are the person when you're reading the packet of tablets. There's a 1 in a 50 chance, 1 in a 100 chance, 1 in a million chance.
Yeah.
These are the symptoms. You are the person who gets the 1 in a million every time. There's a slight chance you might be sick. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. Next thing I know, you should
take
all
that
fours,
chance, please, sir.
On all fours, barking up like a dog. You're like, come on, go.
Barking up like a dog.
Blech.
Oh.
Blech.
That sounded weird. Well, I tell you what, then, I don't really have a particular BS moment of the week for this week. My BS moment of this relationship is doing all this for you and having you to hold my hand, and hopefully I can hold your hand when you need it. And I just...
I mean, you ever held other parts of me when I needed it. I remember, for the people who weren't here recently, I had to go in for a kidney stone operation.
Good Lord, Glenn, I did not know where you were going.
And the lady walked in and she goes, "We need to shave it." I'm sorry? "We need to shave it." And I remember somebody was like, "I'll hold it, you shave it." And I was just like, "Why did we nix it?"
I honestly, in this desperate need to change the time, I don't know.
That was just the most weirdest moment, because the woman was like, "Can I have a look?" And I was like, instantly to my wife, I was like, can she have a look? Yeah, it's fine. Don't worry, you've got your little weird surgical pants on. It's fine.
Do you know what? I don't even think there's been much context in this. You just spill out so many words. I love it. I think we should leave it there.
What, about give him...
No, well, let's just leave it.
Give him Glenn Skywalker a little...
Oh, what is happening? I'm sorry, we're going to go.
leave it happier note.
We'll leave it there. But as always, thank you so much for listening, watching, taking part, liking, sharing, loving. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, fine. Don't go out. I love you, I think.
I love you back.
Ugh.
Bye.